Blog Talk Radio.
Live, because again, I ain't got my super duper producer BJ, but give me a ho.
Vivian,
I think I asked Terry, or I'm not sure if I did, but the Tai Chi classes, they're not going on this session, are they?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, then.
If you register them and they don't have nobody in them, then they're probably canceled.
No, because I actually put the code in and nothing popped up.
Okay, then they're canceled.
Okay, then.
All righty. Bye bye. All right, folks, yes, you rocking for there. Ooh, I don't know if that's the right ho for Mr. Food, but anyway, yeah, we rocking four quarters, and we getting it started on Monday, each and every Monday, because this is what we do. This is what I do. I'm your host with the most, Coach Lee, in the place to be, and I am rocking to you live. I don't have my super-duper producer, BJ, so guess what, folks? If you're calling in, I ain't got the controls on how to do that because I can't log into the mainframe. But anyway, I can call in and do my thing because that's what we do, Four Quarters of Coach Lee, each and every Monday night. You know what I'm saying? 365 days a year, I think about nothing but football. And we're going to get this party started. You know, always got to drop a few little hints of our sponsors. We got my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be blocking Adidas. We got Enterprise Rent-A-Car, where they pick you up. Enterprise, we will pick you up. They will pick you up. You break down, they will pick you up. You need a ride from home, they'll pick you up. You need a ride from the airport, you got it. They will pick you up. We got Rogers Athletic Company, the official football equipment company of the Women's Football Camp and Conference. Yes, where the good get better. What else we got? What else we got? 20-second fitness. Everybody's trying to get a body like mine, but I get it done in 20 seconds. Like I said, 20secondfitness.com or 20secondfitness.com. You know, check it out. Check it out. And like I said, hey, you rock four quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday night. Fortunately, I've been live for like the last 9 or 10 shows in a row. I haven't had to do no tape delay show. But it's all to the good. It's all to the good. I am rocking over here in the Ningbo right now. Let me see who I got here before we get this party started. We got my boy Billy Lewis. We got Cheese. Let me see you say Cheese. We got myself. We got Coach Don Dunbar Jr. We got Foo. We got Jackie Price. We got J.K. That's Jennifer King, for those who don't know. Big Five is alive. We got Dr. Mia Singleton Ben on the Ning board. Yes, yes, y'all. Got some good news for y'all. My Zadiko is dancing all over the Orleans, Nollins. That's what it's called, Nollins. Getting the Zadiko dance all over Nollins this weekend. We got Paul Hamlin. We got Rex Johnson. And we got Coach Willie Parker from the Carolina Phoenix. We rise, we rise, and we rise with the Phoenix. What else? What else? What else? Did I hit it all? I think I hit it all. See, sometimes I be freaking out because my girl BJ ain't in the house, you know. But you know what? We still make this happen. You know, you got to have plan B. Sometimes your defensive coordinator don't make it to the game. You got to be prepared. And guess what, y'all? I am, and I'm ready. So we're going to rock quarter number one. We're going to do a review week 10 and also the easy rankings for both leagues, the IWFL and the WFA. We're also going to talk about in the second quarter, had a great topic that people want to talk about, injuries in practice. We're going to, you know, some teams are practicing hard, some teams are practicing soft, some teams have numbers, some teams don't, and does it affect the game outcome and all the other good stuff. We also got quarter number three. We covered the past game on one of these weeks. Now somebody asked me to cover the run game. You know, and that's fine. I can do that. I can do that. The quarter number three is going to be about the run game. And then, again, quarter number four, I'm going to leave the questions and answers. Again, I always get emails daily. I get emails daily. But if you want to hit me on the Neem board, you can hit me at womenstacklefootballgroup.neem.com. Come and join. Come join us. And if you got something to say, you can always say it in the chat room. If not, I'm live on Facebook as well. So if you want to chat on Facebook, I go back and forth. I just can't get over to the actual Blog Talk Radio board. But if we're ready to get this party started, then we need to go ahead and get this party started. So here we go. Quarter number one. Yes, yes, y'all doing my old school DJ slogans back in the day, yo. When I was 14 years old, owning a nightclub. Yes, I owned a nightclub at age 14. I actually rented a hall once a month and did 17 and under parties and got paid. You know what I'm saying? That's how I got into the industry. But, you know, that's just my flavor. That's what I do. That's why you're rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. And let's go ahead and rock right now. Let's rock.
Yeah.
All right. All right, folks, give me 1 second. I'm sorry about this, but I'm live, no BJ, so I don't have no music or anything. So you just got to listen to my conversation.
This is Dion speaking.
Huh?
Yes.
So we're looking for
rent
for
Phoebe.
Yes. And I'm looking for the
days
18 and the
19. What day? I mean, what month?
This month.
Ooh, we're booked up for this month.
You're empty. I mean, full.
Yeah, we're full. You talking about for the gym?
Uh-huh, for the gym.
Yeah, the gym is booked up this month.
For Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I can probably squeeze you in on Sunday, but for Saturday for sure.
Okay, then we'll take Sunday.
Okay, well, you need to come down and fill out the paperwork,
yes.
And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have the 19th?
The 19th?
Uh-huh.
On Sunday?
Yes.
From what time to what time?
I'm not sure, but just about 5-6 hours. Not 3.
Okay, well, I know the gym is running from 3 to 5 on the 19th.
I'm sorry?
It's running from 3 to 5 p.m. on the 19th. Yeah, it's running from 3 to 5. If you want to after 5, that would be great. If you want to do it before 3 o'clock, you can do that as well.
Oh, okay. So 3 to 5 is like 6.
Yes.
So after 5, 4, 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. All right, then I spoke to the people that I'm with, and then
If everything goes well, then I go and fill the application tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that okay with you?
That's great. Excellent day.
Okay, so Sunday 19, you have from 5 to...
No, 3 to 5.
3 to 5 is...
Yes. Anytime around that, we can work with you.
All right. All right.
Okay? No problem. Bye-bye. Woo, sorry about that, y'all, but yes, you are live, rocking four quarters live. I am quarter number one, and I am rocking and rolling, trying to catch back up. You know what I'm saying? I'm behind the eight ball right now. I'm behind whatever, but you know what I'm saying? We're going to do a two-minute rush through this. Let's go ahead and get to Women's Tackle Football Group, .neem.com. Let's go to week 10. Week 10, let me see where my discussion's at. All right, here we go. Discussions in week 10, results. Results, baby. That's what it's all about. At the end of the week, it's all about the results. So in the WFA, we got Boston Militia 70, Philadelphia Liberty Bells, woo-wee, 8. I feel you, Liberty Bells. Hey, I'm there with you. I know what it's like to be on top of the mountain, not the tip top, but at the top of the mountain and getting knocked down. Hey, I go through it every week. You might not be winning. You know what I'm saying? You might not be getting it done. But you definitely ain't out of it. That's how I look at it as well. We got the New York Sharks, 28. The New England Nightmare, 8. We got the Northeastern Nitro, 12. Keystone Assault, 6. We got the Cleveland Fusion. This has got to be one of those games. Now, I'll get my Pittsburghs mixed up. So I got the Cleveland Fusion, 76. Pittsburgh, 4-0. I thought I was seeing passion. I'm about to say, woo-wee. We got the Columbus Comets, 8. Erie Illusion, 0. We got the St. Louis Slam, 41. West Michigan Mayhem, 7. We got the Indy Crash, 13. Cincinnati Sizzle, 0. We got the Kentucky Karma, 28. Dayton Diamonds, 12. We got the Detroit Dark Angels, 33. Toledo Rain, 6. We got the Carolina Raging Wolves, 32. Savannah Sabres, 13. Orlando Anarchy, 26. Gulf Coast Riptide, 14. Palm Beach Punishers, 34. Atlanta Heartbreakers, 6. Kansas City Tribe, 77. Iowa Explosion, 0. Wisconsin Wolves, 24. Nebraska Stampede, 12. We got the Minnesota Machine, 46. Wisconsin Dragons, 0. Dallas Diamonds, 44. The Memphis, what the women's tackle football team, or the Mojo, or the Melodies, however you want to call them, 0. We got the Lone Star Mustangs, 40. Little Rock Wildcats, 0. Houston Power, 38. New Orleans Blaze, 6. We got the Zaddy Gold. Go ahead and sing it. I think that was my Blues Brothers tune, but you know what I'm trying to get at. 44, Tulsa Eagles, 20. We got the Utah Blitz, 8. Portland Fighting Phillies, 0. Central Cal War Angels, 30. Pacific Warriors, 8. San Diego Surge, 42. Bay Area Bandits, 13, which I think was the WFA game of the week here on the West Coast for sure. I think both teams were undefeated going in. But, again, them surges is an awesome measuring stick, you know what I'm saying? You know, I've been screaming all year. People ain't hearing me. I think y'all better start listening. Get that cotton out your ear. We got the Arizona Assassins, 41. San Diego Sting, 6. And your Las Vegas, well, my Las Vegas showgirls, win over the Los Angeles Amazons by forfeit. But it's all good. You know, like I said, it's all good. We do what we do. We do what we do. We take a win. We take a win. We earn a win. We'll take a win. Anyway, IWFL finals. We got Carolina Phoenix, wink, wink, 42. Baltimore Nighthawks, 0. North Texas Knockouts, 52. Memphis Belle, 0. Atlanta Ravens, 49. Chattanooga Locomotion, 0. Houston Energy, 38. Monterey Black Mambas, 0. We got the Wisconsin Warriors, 26, Madison Cougars, 0. We have the Iowa Crush, 38, Minnesota Vixens, 12. Sacramento, 34, the Sacramento Sirens, that is. Modesto Maniacs, 7. We got the Tucson Monsoon. I think they got their first victory this week over the SoCal or Southern California Breakers, 36-20. And if I'm not mistaken, the California Quake, 44, Seattle Majestic, 0. In the WSFL, Cape Fear Thunder, 6. West Virginia Wildcats, 6. I don't know if that was just ending in a tie or was it ending in due to weather. I'm not quite sure. I know a couple of games were ended due to weather. And Baltimore in interleague play, we got Baltimore Burn, 46. Binghamton Tiger Cats, 0. Yes, yes, y'all. That's the score, y'all, from week 10, y'all. You know, like I said, there were some good scores. There were some upsets. There were some beatdowns. But that's what you're going to get. Bust the bus, get beat down. You know what I'm saying? So let me go over to my rankings real quick. I love the rankings. Not the ratings, but the rankings. Rankings. Let's go with the top 10 for the IWFL. They say they can't update the results until they get the game between Maine and Manchester. Anybody got an update on that update? So I don't think, they have not changed the rankings yet. But we'll go over the top 10 from last week. We got at number 10, the 4-2 Madison Cougars. We got number 9 at 5-2 Portland Shockwave. At number 8, 5-1 Chattanooga Locomotion. At number 7, we got the 4-2 Houston Energy. At number 6, we got the 3-2 Sacramento Sirens. At number 5, we got the 6-0 Carolina Phoenix. At number 4, we got the 6-0 Wisconsin Warriors. At number 3, we got the Montreal Blitz, which is at 7-0. At number 2, we got the 7-0 California Quake. And at number 1, the 6-0 Atlanta Ravens. All right, since we didn't get an update on that, let's see what the WFA rankings have. Like I said, I don't look at this until we about to bust it out on the show. And I normally do the top 20, because I try to get 30%. We got the ex-showgirls have busted into the top 20. Actually, the Silver State Legacy at 5-2 have jumped up from 34. Well, it wasn't 34. It was that strength of schedule. But from 34 at 5-2, at number 19, we got the 4-2 Pacific Warriors. At number 18, we got the 4-2 Palm Beach Punishers. At number 17, we got the 4-2 Central Cal War Angels. At number 16, we got the 5-1 Indy Crash. At number 15, we got the 4-2 Atlanta Explosion. Atlanta Explosion, but we got the Iowa Explosion. My bad. At number 14, we got the 4-2 Houston Power. At number 13, we got the 5-1 Arizona Assassins. At number 12, we got the 4-3, and I think they're the only three-game losing squad in the top 20, actually the top 25, the St. Louis Slam. At number 11, we got the 5-2 Lone Star Mustangs. At number 10, we got the 6-1 Boston Militia. At number 9, we got the 5-1 Bay Area Bandits. At number 8, we got the 6-0 Miami Fury. At number 7, we got the 6-0 Pittsburgh Passion. At number 6, we got the 6-0 Jacksonville Dixie Blues. At number 5, you got? All right, peace. At number 5, we got the 6-0 DC Divas. At number 4, we got the 7-1 KC Tribe. I wonder if they got any more games left. They're the only team that got 8 games in so far. At number 3, we got the 6-0 Dallas Diamonds. At number 2, we got the 7-0 San Diego Surge. And at number 1, We got 6-0 Chicago Force. Yes, yes, y'all. We rocking it, y'all. And it's going down because we're fresh, y'all. Man, I'm still doing my dance. I'm glad I went to Nollins in, what was that, October of last year? September, October? It was in the middle of my 10-week program. But, you know, just to get that first win, I remember it. It's like the first kiss. You never forget the first kiss. But Dr. Ben, you guys are doing it. And I heard you guys did it with 11. You know what I'm saying? The Heavenly 11. I think that's what you're calling yourself. And like I said, a win's a win. I don't care who it's over. And to do it in the style that you did it with only 11 players, hey, you know, I hate using the term, it takes heart to do it. But to go in there with 11 to play a game and then score 44 points, sheesh, that's not bad at all either. And I wish my girl BJ was here tonight so that I can put you on. I definitely would like to hear your voice speak on your team and speak on behalf of the team for getting your first win. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. Let's see where we at. I think that's it with court number one. Let me double check. Yep, I did the rankings and I did the review. So let's go ahead and move on to quarter number two. Quarter number two, injuries in practice. Let me just look in the chat room just to make sure everything's all cool. Everything looks all gravy. No questions. I'm loving it. And no questions on the Ning board. On Facebook. That's great too. So let's go ahead and move on. Injuries. Okay. I got this discussion from actually the Ning board, you guys. And then I was asked to email on what is my opinion on injuries. But let me just go over the question real quick of what was proposed, okay, by Snoopy over on the Ning board. I've got a theory in head that I'm not sure about and would like to know what others think. Most smaller teams do not practice full out with a lot of hitting, at least a few teams that I've been on or around. Most larger teams do. The theory behind the smaller teams cannot afford to injure their players in their own practices, whereas the larger teams have plenty of replacements. Now, purely from my own perspective, I've noticed that these smaller teams do rack up more injuries. I can recall playing on a team that had 60-something players and we only had an average of 3 or 4 injuries. But the smaller teams I've played on have had more injuries and of the worst nature, mostly tears and tears over sprains. So it is my theory that the full hitting practice provide better preparation for actual game play. So the smaller teams that avoid full hitting to prevent injuries are actually setting themselves up for more injuries. And playing both sides of the ball and not coming out of the game, contradictory argument is not acceptable. A large team I played for had starters playing both ways in special teams despite the numbers. So I am curious if I live in a vacuum or to play for odd teams or if other teams have experienced the same or similar events. Here is my theory on this situation. I know we have my man Bill who came in and said college and pro players actually do little hitting percent-wise compared to high school and youth. The theory being that once a player knows how to tackle, actually being hit accomplishes very little. So they do it to keep proficient more than anything else. The major contributor to injury is fitness. In women's football, there is very little, if any, personal fitness that occurs. Other than players that work out on their own, I would suspect those are the most successful and less injury-prone players. There is no way that the players are keeping fit and in shape during the off season by just doing wind sprints and activities conducted 1 and 3 times a week at practice. And then I replied, part of that is basically this: the body gets older, it takes more time to recover. We had a team that we did. As a team, we don't hit much at all anyway. I don't care if I had 60 people, 50 people, 40 people, or where I'm at right now with about 21, 22. yes, I do it to prevent injuries, but we do hit for technique. We don't hit the takedown to the ground. We do hit full speed to the point, hit, wrap, and then let go. But because we have so many rookies this year, we put more time into teaching the game. We have not been able to stay with the program that we put in place, which was a weight program. So I do feel with Bill, you got to have a fitness program. You got to have some running. You got to have some lifting. More injuries occur this year like it did in 2006. Again, part of our program is you got to get in shape. There's some serious athletes that play women's football. There's some average athletes that play women's football. And then there's those who just come out. Those who tend to just come out tend to get hurt a lot often because you're not in shape. Your body, you don't stretch. You don't lift. And trust me, stretching and lifting, being flexible and being strong at the same time prevents injuries. And, of course, being in shape. You know, when you're tired, you tend to go half speed. You know, football is a collision sport. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be prepared to take collision after collision after collision. It's like being in car wrecks, you know, every 30 seconds getting in the car wreck. And then your body's turned and twisted and everything else, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I look at it this way. Bill is right. On the college level, there's not much hitting going on. A lot of hitting happens in the spring. Actually, I was just watching TCU on the Mountain Station just the other day, and the coach was talking about, you know, his 15 days of practice during the spring. And it's not like it used to be when they used to practice, you know, 30 days, 35 days during the spring. So he's talking about the first 5 days of spring ball. It's just installation of the offense, the system, the defense, special teams. Then the next 5 days is competing, you know, seeing who's tough, who can hit, who can do this, who can do that. And then the last 5 days is refining, you know, what they have. And then they come back in the fall camp. When you go to the pro, when you go to NFL, you know, their 6 weeks of training camp is pretty much all of the hitting that they do. And if you look at what's the show? Help me out. Hard Knocks. A lot of veterans don't hit. You know, it's more of the rookies and free agents because they got to earn their way onto the team. Folks already know what the other players can do. But that's when they're going to get the majority of their hitting is during that 6 week period at training camp. Once the season starts, once they start playing preseason games, they start to tone down because it takes the body a lot of time to recover. Matter of fact, in the NFL, them cats, they play on Sunday. They're not into practice until Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they travel on Saturdays. So they only practice 3 days a week, but they practice anywhere between 8 to 10 hours. You know, during that time, and they're basically in helmets, you know, T-shirts, you know, protective pads, not shoulder pads, but protective pads. So you got to give your body time to recover. Being that the ladies aren't in the best of shape, you tend to get hurt because you are of older stature. It tends to take a little bit longer. I know I twisted my ankle in January. Hell, I didn't recover. I'm still tweaking it right now, you know, and I'm 40. So I'm like, man, the body, I twist my ankle and 3 days later I'm ready to roll again. Now I'm still limping after a week and a half. But you got to get in shape. You got to get the muscles toned. And I know the first year in 2006, by the end of the season, I had about 20 players on the sideline and 25 players suited up for the game. The second year, towards the end of the season, we were probably about 15 players on the sideline towards the last game of the season. The third year was our first winning year. We had less injuries. I think we only had two major injuries that year, the third year. And then the last 2 years, we really haven't had any major injuries because we instituted a weight program. Even during the season, we lift weights. The last 2 years, we lift weights every Tuesday and watch film on Tuesdays. This year, it's all about being watching film, you know. And it's a learning curve. It's a learning process. Each coach got their own philosophy. Again, as far as the hitting is concerned, I just keep it to a minimum. Again, it's all about technique, fundamentals, but we just don't take to the ground. Most injuries occur on the takedown, and that's where we blow the whistle at that point in time. Does it make a difference with the number of players? Again, if they're in shape and they're fit, it doesn't matter. My last 2 years, I've only had 28, 32 players, and we've done our best. You know, again, we started off with 40-something players this year, and we're down to 21. And I would say some folks are hurt and some folks are injured. They don't know the difference between hurt and injured. But you got to take this craft serious. I mean, this is – I want to tell you, football is a life taker. And I'm talking about extreme. You know, you can die playing this football – I mean, this game. But you can also, you know – hurt yourself to the point where you can be handicapped, you know, to the point where you're not walking, to the point where you're having major knee surgeries, major ankle surgeries, broken legs, broken arms, torn this, torn that. So my advice is get up off your butt and start working out. You got to lift. You got to get a program. Even if your team don't have a team, a program, you guys got to start one. If it's the girls getting together and finding a trainer to get it done, get it done. Because you got to be healthy in this game. And you got to hold up. Again, I recall when I first came into the league in 2006 into women's football, I was expecting to play 10 games. But we had a lot of owners talking about, no, we want to cut it down. You know, ideally, I would like to play 12 games a season. But apparently the bodies ain't holding up. And so that was part of the solution of coming up with only 8 games for the season. And then over at least a minimum of 10 weeks to have 2 periods in there when you have 2 byes with the whole concept of preventing injuries for the body to recover and rest. What else on that topic? Let me see the name board if anybody agree or disagree. Again, it's kind of quiet only because of my girl PJ not in the house. BJ is not in the house, but that's all good. You got to take your nutrients. You know, you got to have the vitamins. You got to take your proteins. It's a lot of things. Your diet got to be better. You got to do things to place yourself in the best situation. Some of the things that we do during the season and the off season, we have like I said, 22nd Fitness is one of our sponsors of our team, and we just happen to have Spencer, who lives in Vegas, who's the actual founder of 22nd Fitness. He worked our girls out starting in January. We try to get as fit as possible, but some of the girls haven't taken it serious. Some had, some are still doing, and it's just something that we have to force ourselves upon. In our realm of football, we don't have enough time as it is to teach the game, let alone get the proper running and training and all that other good stuff. You know what I'm saying? All that other good stuff. So that's where I'm at on that. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So again, that's my statement on injuries. I would love for everybody to be healthy and have a prosperous, long career, but football is a collision sport. You got to do everything that you can to tighten up them joints, them ligaments, the muscles, and just take care of your body. You know what I'm saying? Take care of your body. And the other thing is go full speed. Most people get hurt standing around. And I hate to see them knees be taken out because you're standing around as an offensive lineman and you're around the pile. I hate it being around the pile because we had offensive linemen that had to dive over the pile and take DBs out that were standing around. So I don't like standing around. You shouldn't like standing around. And if you are standing around, you're probably going to lose a knee here or there somewhere around this place. But anyway, that is my take on injuries in practice. Again, to each they own. Some coaches are physical who like to hit all week. Then you have some other coaches who care for the body. See, I'm a track coach too, so I have to, you know, if I want the best on the track meet, I got to prime my athletes. You know what I'm saying? We got to prime. We got to prime ourselves. So on Monday, they're required to go out and do their own running, own stretching. On Tuesday, we do film and weights. Wednesday is our hit day. Thursday is our, you know, practice light day, go over everything. Friday, prepare for Saturday, if not leaving, and then go play the game on Saturday, return back home on Monday. So as you can see, that's a 7-day week, and it's something being done just about every day, be it traveling, be it running on your own or lifting weights and stuff like that, and film learning and hitting, all that, y'all, because you're rocking 4 quarters, y'all, and we still rocking over on the Ning board. Cheese is in the house. Debbie Michael's in the house. Food. Who's that? Holly. We got Jackie Price. J.K. still here. Dr. Ben's here. Mindy White's in the house. We got P.H. in the house. We got Rex Johnson, Willie Parker, and we got Randall with the WSFL. Not sure if he's on the mic or listening real tight. I don't know. But, hey, that's what we do when you rock 4 quarters of Coach Lee, baby. 4 quarters of Coach Lee each and every Monday night. Moving on, quarter number three. Got an email. Coach Lee did a decent job of covering. I love how people tell me I did a decent job. I guess that's okay. I did an okay job on the passing game. And I just start laughing because, again, people don't know I'm a defensive coach. I'm a defensive-minded coach. We're going to be solid on defense. But, you know, I like to go against different offenses because it's a challenge. And then I like to take those offenses that give me the challenge and place that as my offense because that's what I love to do. In the past, I have not been a run coach. It's something that I had to buy into this year. Just due to the fact of lack of experience, lack of players, lack of quarterback skills, lack of receiver skills as far as our old system. And I had to really revert and scale down and become what I call a power team. I got two power backs. I got a slippity back that I call. Got a quarterback that can, you know, get the edge, but, again, lack of experience, not knowing that she can cut back, stuff like that. But we just made the game simple this year. You know what? Let's be in every game. Let's compete, you know. But the run game, you know, where does it stand? I think right now, the women's football, the run game is the game. And I've seen different offenses. I've seen we run power eye. I've even seen a little wishbone. Teams like to run up the middle, run toss. I've seen teams run. Hold on 1 second. Yeah.
Hi, here with me. Because I know it's you, Barry.
Hi, you with me.
Anyway, I'm doing my show. What's up?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, bye, honey.
All right. Later.
Bye.
You know the wife know I got a show every Monday night. You would think that she wouldn't call between 7 and 8 o'clock, but she'd do it anyway. But anyway, back to the run game. I've seen it all in women's football. I've seen it all. No, wasn't it? You already clocked out? No, I haven't seen it. You came back? Oh. So, I've seen it all. A lot of teams run power game. Again, you get a back like Jessica Springer, 5'10", 240, and can run up 4'6", 4'7", 4'8", 40. Hey, you put some horses in front of her and let her go. Then I've seen some running backs like my girl from the Quake, Wheels. Seen some highlights of my girl, J.K., even though at quarterback, she's not really a running back. I had a running back named Dina Hauser, who was the second best running back in IWFL in 2009. So I've seen some breakaway backs, you know, give them the ball, Q Rags, give them the ball, and they get excited. Odessa Jenkins, give them the ball, and I've seen them exciting. I haven't seen the true dominant line, and I think that's where the run game has to evolve. Again, I just think women are passive, so it's a lot easier for me to teach them pass blocking because they're so protective. You know, you're not going to get here. You're not going to get here instead of me taking you there. And that's where blocking for run game is, it's a mentality. It's an aggressiveness. And a lot of the women have not had the aggressiveness. And I know I'm speaking in stereotypes, but I'm just telling you what I've seen. Hot dogs, leave me alone. But you know what I haven't seen? True option. When I say true option, I'm talking about where the quarterback is reading the dive, giving or pulling, taking to the edge, either pitching or running, and then getting down the field and still pitching the ball. I think the run game can take another step towards that. I know we've attempted some of that, but again, I'm cautious. I'm a defensive-minded coach. You know, offense don't do nothing stupid to put your offense back against the wall type of mentality. But the run game, again, there's great running backs out there. Again, I have not seen the dominant run blocking offensive line that just smash you, hit you every play. And but I know it's going to be some teams out there in the near future. But again, I would like to see the offense evolve into more of an option type, giving your best athlete options to give, pull, or pitch. A lot of teams run off tackle. I know we love running off tackle. It's just simple for us. Tackle blocks down, lead blocker back kicks out, fullback leads up, and just hit the four and three hole. And I run it out of two receivers spread out wide. You put nine in the box, we're going to hit the edge on you. We're not going to run straight at you. I know some teams that just run straight at you. So, again, my philosophy ain't to run, but I've been running because it's part of my defensive philosophy. Put together drives, move the ball, get some first downs, make the clock tick, and just get field position. I'm not a patient guy, and this has been testing me all year to run 3, 4, 5 handoffs in a row. I think when we played the Surge the last game, our first drive, it lasted 10 minutes. Y'all never had a 10-minute drive before. 10-minute drive, and I think we went 11 plays, 12 plays or something like that, 7 first downs, about 14 to 15 plays, only one pass. Well, actually 2 passes. The last one was an interception. I'm like, hot diggity dog. But, again, that is something that, you know, we got to do. You got to be patient-minded. You got to understand that 3 yards, 4 yards is a positive play in the run game, unlike the passing game. You know, passing game, you can throw the ball 2 yards, and all of a sudden she's gone for 80. You know, with the run game, you got to be patient. Got to be patient and rely on the clock ticking, rely on having some great linemen, and, again, finding running backs that hit the hole hard. That is something that I definitely see that I don't see across the board. Running backs, your job is to hit the hole. Stop looking at the ball as it's coming into your hand. Hit the hole hard, make something happen. A lot of you ladies are tipping. You know, you're tipping through there. You're tipping. But again, a good running back is going to drop her shoulders, going to dip, going to use that forearm rip as she's taking on a hit. She's going to use that straight arm. Then she's going to use her speed, bounce outside, and then outrun folks. A great running back is going to be able to cut back 3 or 4 times as long as they get positive yards. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I've seen some quality backs out there. I've seen some quality running games out there. Again, I just haven't seen the quality linemen that have the attitude of that we're going to move you out of our way. I've seen more linemen just get in the way or just run down the field. And as a coach, that just kills me because I'm always screaming at my players, hit somebody. If everybody blocks somebody, then the running back just has to break one tackle to score. Let me say that again. If everybody blocks somebody, then the running back only has one person or one tackle to break. So, again, I'm falling into the run game, but it's not my expertise. We'll be stepping our game up next year. That's why we're playing 12-game season this year, because it's all about experience. The more experience we get, the better we get to drive for that championship for next year, you know. And that's our goal. That is my goal. And you still ain't found it. I was looking for it. I went walking over there. Nah, you didn't do that. Let me go get ready to lock up. All right, so that is my thought on the run game. Again, some teams might think that, you know, I'm crazy, but I'm just an exciting guy. I love exciting football. I'm not saying that running the ball ain't exciting, but I just love getting my best athletes in open field and letting them do their thing. So anyway, we moving on. Quarter number four. Let me move over here to my Q&A side. Again, I want to thank you guys who are listening in. This show is brought to you by all those wonderful folks, 20 Second Fitness, you know, Rogers Athletic Company, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas, because we all should be rocking Adidas. Who else is going on? All right, here we go. Question. Coach Lee, hi, dog. I love when they say Coach Lee. Coach Lee, why did you schedule 12 games prior to the season? Did you know you weren't going to make the playoffs or something? Ha, 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 ha. To be honest, I knew this was going to be a trying year for me. And again, 8 games was not enough games for me. Originally, I wanted to do 10 games. I was going to do a early season game and then a late season game, knowing that, I didn't know we weren't going to make the playoffs, but I had a good chance that we weren't going to make the playoffs due to the amount of experience we had coming back on the team. That's the honest truth. But as a coach, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I knew we were going to lose, because that's not what I put in my players. It's not that I knew we were going to lose. It's just that, hey, I want to give the women more opportunities to play. And if we would have made the playoffs, we still would have been fine, because our last game of the season would have been on June 18th. But as we got into the season and I seen the talent, I realized that maybe we weren't going to make the playoffs. And when the opportunity came about to play the Jinx again, we jumped on it for June 25th. And we also looking for some Sixers games. I talked to a couple of Sixers teams that want to play us, Reno and BJ's team. And, hell, we might even do a Sixers tournament here in Vegas in the offseason. Who knows? Just to have some fun. But, again, I'm trying to give my players more playing time, more experience. So, hope that answered the question. So, yes, I sort of kind of knew that I wasn't going to make the playoffs, but I didn't figure I was going to be losing just because of the fact that it's 16 teams make the playoffs, and you pretty much got to be just about perfect or just lose one game. And we started the season in our WFA season this year 0-2, so we were already out the playoffs by the second game. Okay? So that's the reality. That is the reality. Did I say that's the reality? Yes, I did. Here's another question. Question. Uniforms. Coach, does it matter what color teams are? To me, it doesn't matter to me. It's whatever your philosophy is, whatever your scheme is, whatever your preference is. You know, I know there's some hot pink uniforms out there. What's up?
Hello, sir. Crazy.
Yeah. If I got them.
And you're Community service here?
Yeah. You good? Okay. No problem. Yeah, so, you know, there's uniforms that are pink, red, yellow, blue. I mean, it's only so many colors in the spectrum. You make it look good. You know what I'm saying? Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in the day. I don't even know what color that was. But they had to make them look good. And then when they changed over to the other color that they are now, they still had to make them look good. You know, not many teams look good in orange, but you can make orange look good. So that's your preference. Here's another question. Speed. Speed kills, right, Coach? Heck yes. H to the E-L-L, speed kills. Recruit them track athletes. That's all I can say. Recruit some of them track athletes is all that I could say, because speed definitely kills. Speed definitely catches up when somebody's breaking out. So, again, speed definitely kills. Scheme, I already talked about that one before. Coaching staff. What is the minimum amount of coaches that should be on the coaching staff? For me, the minimum amount is one. If you got one that know what they're talking about, then it can get done. It's just a matter of the players being disciplined to do what the one is asking of all of them to do. Ideally, there should be anywhere between 7 to 9 coaches in football. 7 to 9 coaches should be the magic number, one for each position. Once the game starts, you know, one or two can go up in the booth. I have not been fortunate enough to have that many coaches. I haven't been fortunate enough to have anybody up in the booth my whole 6 years. I'm not one who likes to listen on headphones because it distracts from my thinking. But I have been defensive coordinator at different high schools and, you know, had my linebacker coach go up and call. I can't call from upstairs. I got to be on the field. I got to be part of the action. I got to see in your eyes. I got to see in your face if you want to get it done. So for me, I'm not a good coach to go up in the bleachers calling plays, offensive, defense. That's just not me. I got to be on the field. I've tried to, as a head coach, be in the press box for the first quarter and just got so frustrated because, you know, the lack of focus and things of that nature from the team. And, again, my coaching staff have not been able to, tote the rope. Is that a good word? Yeah, tote the rope. So, hey, you know, like I said, the magic number is 7 to 9 coaches. The minimum number is one. One good coach is all you need. You just need to follow the plan and get it done. Let's see if I got time. I don't know if I got time. Normally I have BJ on the line, and BJ can tell me how much time I got. But let me see. Let me see what the Ning Board says. Ning Board says I got 8 more minutes left. Okay, we shall see. Let me see if I can go over another question. Sponsorships. Why are sponsors hard to get, being that this is like the 11th season of women's football? Well, like I said, there's a lot of things that I talked about in some earlier shows about sponsorship, visibility, fan base, and the fact that corporate America is scared of women's sports. Corporate America is scared of women's sports because of your openness of your sexuality. It just kills sponsors because they don't want, like I said, I've talked to many of them and had many meetings in corporate situations and informal situations. And the bottom line is companies are scared. Even women products are scared to support women's sports because of the complexity of relationships. And they don't want to be known as this type of product, even though it's a female product. They'll make no sense, but it just does. So that's it, you know, not getting enough visibility, not getting a big enough fan base is the key to that. I think I got time for one more question. Let me see. This is another one. It's almost like the last question, but you're talking about why isn't women's football. Yeah, you can. I got you. Yeah. We'll knock it out tomorrow. You'll be done. All right. Why isn't women's football on TV? Point blank. visibility, fan base. You got to pick those up. It's that simple. Fan base. Here's another one. Championship games. Why are championship games in hot climates? Guess what, folks? Championship games in the middle of August. Well, beginning of August, end of this, January. Where is there a cool place during that time? In the middle of summer in the United States? I don't know. If you go, if you come west, it's going to be that the heat hot, meaning the sun burning hot. If you go down south, you're talking about the humidity. Midwest is similar to the here. You got thunderstorms. You got tornadoes. I mean, there is no perfect place to conduct a national championship game at the end of July, beginning of August. Everywhere is hot. I don't care where you're at. Unless you go north of the border, that's about it. So, again, it doesn't matter. You're only out there for 3 hours. You're out there for 3 hours, play ball, shut up, and get it done. I can say that because I was here in Vegas last year. It was 100 degrees. Well, guess what? It was 100 degrees, but it was clear. You know what I'm saying? It felt like you were playing in a hairdryer, but it was clear. I've been to Dallas championship game. You know, it's going to be humid out there. It's going to be sticky. So everybody's not going to be able to adapt, but you only got to adapt for a short period of time. It's not like you're living there. And you do the best that you can to compensate and help out. But outside of that, ladies and gentlemen, where else are you going to find a championship game? Unless you do it in the dome. I know the WSFL was trying to do a championship game in the dome. That would be an idea. But is it affordable? Is it what you can afford to get? You know, temperature climate situation would be the best. But even then, look at the Super Bowl that took place in Detroit in February. Snowing outside. Couldn't do no festivities or anything outside. You know, everything had to be indoors. So, you know, until we're packing 2,000, 3,000 people to a championship game, let's not worry about where it's at. Just get there. That's all I'm saying. Just get there. I think we're getting to the time, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see if I got time for one more question. Let's see. I don't know. Music's going to be kicking in a hot second because it's on automatic. It's on autopilot. But, you know, like I said, this is every Monday night, you guys. And like I said, my girl, Super Duper, producer BJ, had some things to take care of. She had a special guest in town, and she took her around to show off the wonderful city of Sacramento. Again, you can hit me up here at the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com board. Just go under Dion's Bleed Elite. You can leave a message on my private message. You can leave a message on Facebook. You can leave a message at Las Vegas Showgirls. Las Vegas Showgirls at Yahoo.com. It don't matter, you guys. I try to answer as much as I can. I try to give you as much information as I can because you're rocking 4-4 for Coach Lee each and every Monday. Oh, it tells me I got 90 seconds. So tell a friend, be a friend, slide a friend, do what you got to do, get people to the Ning board, get people on calling into the show, you know, support women's football, because if you don't, who will? You know, that's the biggest argument. If you won't, who will? We got the Women's Football Camp and Conference jumping off in January here in Vegas. New information should be going up this week. We're going to have we're looking for coaches. We're looking for players to turn it up. Like I said, you want to get better, you got to go out and get better. You got to find an arena where you can get better. And that's what the Women's Football Camp and Conference is all about. So get it in. There's no excuse. There's going to be 4 this year based on demand. If the demand is there, we will supply. You know what I'm saying? But we're for sure going to do the West Coast camp here in Vegas. We got one other camp that we're talking about doing down southeast in the Carolinas. We're looking for the North camp. I've had 2 or 3 proposals come in. Things just ain't panning out because of cost. Because, again, you're looking up at the North in February. You're looking at an indoor facility. It's hard. It is kind of hard. But anyway, y'all, I am out of here. This is your boy, Dion Fleetly, Coach Lee, in place to be here on Blog Talk Radio. Continues, that is. Peace.